The Lord be with you. I'm Pastor Larry Oliver, and I want to thank you for joining us for this online service for the fourth Sunday in Lent. We are glad that you're here and pray that this service strengthens your faith, brings you closer to God, His peace, His grace, His mercy, and His forgiveness. In our readings for today, we hear about light and darkness, vision and blindness. Isaiah speaks of the blindness that is not of our eyes, but in our hearts. In the epistle reading, Paul reminds us of the light that exposes our sin and calls us to walk in the light of Christ. In the Holy Gospel, a man blind from birth receives a gift of sight from Jesus, but experiences an even greater gift, the gift of faith in Christ and thus in eternal life. Jesus said, "When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them," and so we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it,
who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it.
I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations.
To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you sent your Son as a light to the world to save us from sin, death, and the devil. Send now your Son to us in this valley of darkness called coronavirus, that he may remind us of your power, your presence, and your peace, for we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah 42. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay wasted mountains and hills and dry up the vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind to a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame. Who trust is in carved idols? Who say to metal images, "You are our gods"? Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messengers whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as a servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Epistle reading is from Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. For though once your heart was full of darkness, now it is full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. Because of this light within you, you should only do what is good and right and true. Learn as you go along what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless pleasure of evil and darkness, but instead rebuke and expose them. It would be shameful even to mention here those pleasures of darkness that the ungodly do. But when you expose them, the light shines in upon their sins and shows it up, And when they see how wrong they really are, some of them may even become children of light. That is why God says in the scriptures, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. Jesus heals a man born blind. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that the man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And so he went and washed and came back seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man Jesus is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they again said to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." And they answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't think much about darkness today. There's light 24/7. At night, light comes from streetlights and headlights and neon signs. As evening approaches, we have lights in our homes that come on automatically. Even when the electricity goes out, we have flashlights and emergency lights to light our homes. Not so in the ancient world. They had no street lights. There was no electricity, no switches on the wall to turn on overhead lights. The darkness had a way of pressing in on people. They rarely left their homes at night because of the darkness, much like we are rarely leaving our homes now due to the virus. The flame of a small handheld lamp was often all that stood between the early Christians and total darkness, even in their homes. Archaeologists have uncovered some of those handheld lamps. Since they were so small, a family might have a dozen or more around the house to provide light as they moved about the house. Those lamps demanded attention. They had to be replenished with oil. The wick had to be trimmed, and each lamp had to be hand-lit every evening. The ancient homeowner would go about at dusk singing a song as they lit those lamps. That song is preserved in our hymnal. The service of the evening prayer uses that song, which is called the Hymn of Light. It can be found on page 244 of the Lutheran Songbook. Here are the words to that song. Joyous light of glory, of the immortal Father, heavenly, holy, blessed Jesus Christ. We have come to the setting of the sun, and we look to the evening light. We sing to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy of being praised, and with pure voices forever. O Son of God, O Giver of life, the universe proclaims your glory. The nightly ritual of lighting those lamps meant that every night the people would be reminded about Jesus, the light of the world. It is almost enough to make us regret light switches. What a wonderful way to be reminded that Jesus is the light of the world as evening comes. Light. We need light to walk, to move, to survive. It makes the grass grow and the plants green. Darkness, on the other hand, reduces us to stumbling masses not knowing where we are or where we're going. Without light, we are immobilized in hopelessness. When we are in the dark, we are attracted to even a small light in the distance. The Israelites were led by a pillar of fire at night. We are drawn to a light in the dark. The issue here is that we don't really think we are in the dark. At the end of the gospel reading for today, the problem with the Pharisees is that they do not think they are blind or in the dark. That self-righteous perception has them in darkness deeper than even that of the blind man. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus gives sight to a man who had been born blind. Because he did so on the Sabbath, the Pharisees have a cow. Any work done on the Sabbath was a violation of the Pharisaic law. But they couldn't agree on whether Jesus was from God or from Satan. Giving sight to a blind man was surely an indication that Jesus was from God. But healing on the Sabbath was a violation of the man-made law. And that made Jesus a sinner who could not have come from God. You see, they were judging Jesus by their man-made law. Jesus tells the Pharisees that they are so inwardly focused on keeping the law, they are blind to the truth. While they could see earthly things, they were spiritually blind. Ultimately, they excommunicated the formerly blind man from the temple because of their own blindness. In the end, Jesus points out that they are the ones who are living in darkness because they didn't have a clue. So, what does all this light and darkness have to do with us today? Especially when all we have to do is flip a switch, then there is light immediately. Biblically, darkness refers to our sinful nature, our fundamental brokenness as human beings. But to much of the world today, that sinful nature is simply seen as just a misstep, a mistake, an error, or a lack of understanding. And a simple apology just makes it all go away. The only time we hear sin in the conversations outside the church today is on the dessert menu at the restaurant when it is used to describe that chocolate cake with which they are enticing you to gorge yourself. The world doesn't connect its predicaments, its broken families, its broken relationships, its loneliness, its mass murders with the darkness in human hearts. Like the Pharisees, much of the world is spiritually blind and cannot see its guilty hand in its darkened heart. You see, in our brokenness, we are blinded by the darkness of our sin, and consequently, we don't see the harm that it causes for us or the people around us. The world would really be much happier if we just all kept the Ten Commandments. We could put lock manufacturers out of business, and politics would be totally different. There'd be no more need for any more laws. The darkness of sin renders us blind at so many different levels and layers. The disciples who are walking with Christ every day in our gospel lesson are blind and betray as much with their question of who had sinned. Tradition and stubborn adherence to something other than the Word of God blinded the Pharisees and can blind us today as well. Further, darkness has serious complications for our relationship with God, for the fruit of that darkness cuts us off from Him. We cannot see the way in that darkness of sin. Even if we want to go the right way, we cannot on our own. It must be illuminated for us. Our need is very great. We are often so blind, so accustomed to the darkness, that we don't even realize that we are blind. We think this broken world is normal. It's not normal. We should not be struggling with the things we struggle with, the decisions which perplex us, the folks in the road before which we dither. We should not be cleaning up the messes we have to clean up because we make poor decisions or don't see the potency of God to be the solution to our problems. How often don't we make a tense situation worse because we assume the worst of someone? How often don't we let our fear and or our pride come between us and prevent us from reconciling or taking the first step toward reconciliation? And so, what do we Christians do? There are several things that we can do that will be helpful. First, we welcome Christ, the light of the world, into our hearts. He shines in the darkness of this world and shows us the godly way, which starts with the grace of God to sinners. On our own, we would never make that choice. In Isaiah 58, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Paul reminds us that Christ's light also shines into our darkness, even those things which we would rather forget. But Jesus knows that they are poisoning us. He will not leave any dark corners in our life for the cockroaches of sin to grow and multiply. Though this process is sometimes unpleasant, in the same way that a dental cleaning might be unpleasant, it is also something we know that is for our good. Jesus' light purifies us. This light of Christ also illuminates our life. The ancients lit their lamps every night with the flame that they first lit at the Easter vigil. In the same way, the light of Christ's love illuminates our actions. The sin of a neighbor is now not a matter of vengeance for us, but an opportunity to forgive. The hurt of a neighbor does not see us laughing into our sleeves, but empathizing and helping as we are given the ability to do so. Christ shines a light upon our way with Him. We know what is important because He has told us. The light of Christ shines on our path. Jesus has ascended to heavenly glory. By uniting with Him in His death, we are also united with Him in His resurrection and life. Like a lighted exit sign above the door in a dark building, He shows us the way out and the way up, the way that is in Him. Jesus lights the way to eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God that comes from the light of Jesus Christ keep you in faith now and forever. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. We pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, shine your light of mercy and grace into our darkened hearts and show us the way to your will and to your ways so that we may know the fullness of your forgiveness, life, and peace, Lord, in your mercy. Healing, Lord, shine your light of peace and healing to all who seek relief, for the sick, for those who are troubled physically, spiritually, emotionally, or mentally, and for the grieving and for the dying, that your comfort may be known especially. Today we lift up Dan, Dolores, Paula, Piper, Vern, Xavier, Bob, and Tom. We pray too for those homebound who cannot be with us today. Fred, Violet, Audrey, Weldon, Pat, Bonnie, Vi, Jackie, Dick, Shirley, Denny, and Karen. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all nations, shine your light into all places in this world and to the leaders of cities, states, and countries, that your light guide and direct them so that peace be had and justice faithfully served. Give courage and diligence to all who work to defend liberties and life, and to those who speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Lord, in your mercy. God of the creation that now groans under the grip of the coronavirus, we pray for all those afflicted. Heal and comfort them. We pray for the medical personnel who care for them. Bless them and protect them. We pray for those who quarantined. Grant them patience and peace. We pray for our leaders who must make difficult decisions. Guide and counsel them. We pray that you would bring good out of the pandemic that has befallen us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the church, shine your light upon all you have enabled to speak and to proclaim your word. Be with our congregation, that we remain united in truth, love, faith, and service. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of God. At one time you were in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. The Lord bless you and keep you.
I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground.
The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
These things are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them.
Amen. Our webmaster tells us that the number of visitors to our website has increased dramatically. If you are a new or recent first-time visitor, we welcome you to our midst. We'd love to hear from you, so please feel free to contact us at ilchurch2009@gmail.com, or you can call me personally at 541-730-6673. Our contact information is also available on our website. For the people of Emmanuel, the governor has requested that we stay indoors and avoid gatherings of groups more than 10, so our council has wisely chosen to suspend all of our services until at least April 20th. We will continue these online services for as long as the suspension of these services continue. Finally, you probably noticed that there was no music included in this service today, and there's a reason for it. District has reminded all of the churches that we must be careful not to violate copyright laws by putting copyrighted music into our services, and so that created the lack of music in the service today. There are people working to get some kind of music back into our services. Please be patient while we work on that process. Until we meet again, go in peace, serve the Lord.